Hello, brothers and sisters. I'm Sister Ann Shields, and welcome again to Food for the Journey. Today, we look ahead to the readings for this Sunday, which is the 14th Sunday in Ordinary Time. So let's take a look at the readings. And as perhaps you are now taking out your Bibles when you listen to this program, which I really urge you to do, I am using the New American Translation of the Bible because that's the translation used in the mass readings. And most often that's what you would be doing, would be hearing these readings at mass. So I'm trying to use that translation. The RSV, Catholic Bible Revised Standard Version, Catholic Edition, is probably better, but we work with what we have. So this is the New American Bible Translation, and the first reading for this Sunday is from the prophet Ezekiel, chapter 2, verses 2 to 5. As the Lord spoke to me, the Spirit entered into me and set me on my feet, and I heard the one who was speaking say to me, Son of man, I am sending you to the Israelites, rebels who have rebelled against me. They and their ancestors have revolted against me to this very day. Hard of face and obstinate of heart are they to whom I am sending you. But you shall say to them, Thus says the Lord God. And whether they heed or resist, for they are a rebellious house, they shall know that a prophet has been among them. Now, Ezekiel was one of the great prophets. We can, however, be prophets with a small p. We really can. Because if we live out our baptismal promises to reject Satan, to choose the Lord, to follow him all the days of our life, if we choose, because it's always by free will, if we choose to exercise the gifts of the Holy Spirit given to us in baptism, we too, in a sense, begin to live a prophetic life, because what we're trying to do is live for the life to come, live for heaven. We're trying to live in such a way that we make the gospel attractive, that we draw people. Perhaps people who have never heard the gospel, perhaps people who were raised in a Christian or a Catholic home and have drifted away, which is very, very many these days. Your whole life can be a prophetic witness. You say, oh, well, those are the great prophets, but the greatest way in which you prophesy is by the kind of life you live, your priorities, your standards, by your speech, by the people you relate to, by your goals in life that become obvious. In every way, you witness to the basis or the standard on which you live, which for us is the gospel. Please make some choices. Please don't live wishy-washy. Don't live by the standards of the world. Don't think, for heaven's sake, don't think it doesn't matter. It matters. And it may matter for your eternal salvation. I say that as clearly as I can. The way you live on this earth determines your eternal salvation. God doesn't determine it. You determine it. He offers you the way to him. He offers you the way to eternal life. And then if you choose to follow his way, then how does your life become, in a sense, a prophetic word? How does your life speak to others? Really, brothers and sisters, this is the truth. Christianity is not pablum. It's tough, but oh my goodness, the rewards are so great. Pablum, in case you don't use that word anymore, pablum is baby food. The gospel is very adult, but it can also speak to the heart of every child, because God can speak through his word to every single one of us, no matter what our age, our background, our education. He can speak to our hearts if we let him. The question is, will we? I want to urge you to take a look. Is my life in a sense, a prophetic witness to the life to come by, as I said before, by my standards, by my priorities, by my conversation, by my goals, by my speech. Does my life testify? Does my life point to the life to come by its priorities? Psalm 123, our eyes are fixed on the Lord, pleading for his mercy. And that's what we have to do, because the world, the flesh, and the devil war against these kinds of priorities. They want us to go their way. Our eyes are fixed on the Lord, pleading for his mercy. Lord, give me the strength. Give me the power. Give me the wisdom. Give me the help. Give me hope. Enable me to love where I don't want to love. Pray that way, and God will answer that prayer. The second reading is taken from Paul's letter to the Corinthians, the second letter to the Corinthians, chapter 12, verses 7 to 10. Brothers and sisters, that I, Paul, might not become too elated because of the abundance of the revelations, that is, God had revealed himself to Paul in some remarkable ways. And so Paul says, so that I might not become proud, too elated, that I might not think more of myself than I should. A thorn in the flesh was given to me, an angel of Satan to beat me, to keep me from being too elated. That's too proud, too puffed up, too stuck up. We don't know what that thorn in the flesh was for him. We don't know what he suffered. But obviously, it brought him some humiliation. And in the end, he said that was good for his soul. Three times I begged the Lord about this, that it might leave me. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for power is made perfect in weakness. Why is that true? Why is God's power come to fruition in us who are weak? It works that way if we lean on the Lord, if we don't just get embarrassed or defeated or downcast about whatever our weaknesses are, but we hand those over to the Lord and say, Lord, use these for your glory. In other words, if we can be humble enough to see, to understand that God can use all our gifts, and sometimes the areas where we are without gifts, he can use those areas if we rely on him. That's what he's trying to do, is not to depend on ourselves, not to look to the praise of the world, but to look to him for all our strength every day. My grace is sufficient for you, for power is made perfect in weakness. God's power, God's life, is made perfect in us, complete in us. When we depend on the Lord, then God's light shines through. God's wisdom, God's love, God's hope, it shines through us then when we depend on him, even in our weakness. And so Paul says, I will rather boast most gladly of my weaknesses in order that the power of Christ may dwell with me. I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and constraints for the sake of Christ. For when I am weak, then I am strong. In weakness, in the sense of I know I have nothing in me. But if I depend on him, Paul says, if I depend on him, then I will boast of my weaknesses, because then the power of Christ can work through me. It's a paradox. That's the way the scriptures are. That's the way God's teaching is. It's a paradox because we don't have all of God's values. It seems like a contradiction in so many ways. But draw close to him, listen to him, and you'll begin to understand. My power is made perfect in your weakness if we rely on him. In the Gospel of Mark, chapter 6, verses 1 to 6. Jesus departed from there and came to his native place, accompanied by his disciples. When the Sabbath came, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many who heard him were astonished. So he's come back to his hometown, brothers and sisters. That doesn't always work well. And it didn't for Jesus here. He comes back to his hometown, accompanied by his disciples. And when the Sabbath came, he began to teach. And many who heard him were astonished. They said, "Where did this man get all this? What kind of wisdom has been given to him? What mighty deeds are wrought by his hands? Isn't he the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James and Joseph and Judas and Simon? Are not his sisters here with us?" And they took offense at him. "Who do you think you are?" That's what the townspeople basically are saying. "Who do you think you are? We know your relatives. We know your beginnings. We know where you came from. Why are you posing as a prophet?" And Jesus said to them, "A prophet is not without honor, except in his native place and among his own kin and in his own house." That's often true. When someone comes to us with genuine gifts and we're not too sure, we say, "Well, he just came from here. I mean, we know his family. I mean, nobody has those kinds of gifts. He must be an imposter." We do that with all kinds of configurations, but we all do that. That's the human condition. And it says, they took offense at him, and Jesus said, "A prophet is not without honor, except in his native place and among his own kin and in his own house." See, so often we think, by human standards, we think we know who you are. Who are you to puff yourself up? Who are you to give titles to yourself or honors or presume to teach the scripture to us? We know where you come from. How often do we do that with people we've grown up with? Always, always look and listen with the eyes of faith and say, "Did God do something in this person's life? Has this person's life really changed? Do I need to listen to this?" Jesus said, "A prophet is not without honor except in his native place and among his own kin and in his own house." So he was not able to perform any mighty deed there. Listen to that. Jesus was unable. Why? He could have counteracted all that. He can do anything. But he didn't act because of their lack of faith. How many times does our lack of faith hold, in a certain sense, hold God back? Because God will not violate our free will. And if we don't think that we can do X or Y, God's not going to force us. But if we depend on him, how much more can he use us? How much more, if we walk in faith and hope, can he make use of us? But here's even Jesus. He was not able to perform any mighty deed there apart from curing a few sick people by laying his hands on them. He was amazed at their lack of faith. Brothers and sisters, please pay attention to that. Magnificat magazine concludes with this: "The people of Jesus' native place began to measure him based on their own inadequate preconceptions and presuppositions. Because they are sated with contempt, they rule out the possibility of experiencing the mighty deeds of the Lord. How much better are those who, like Paul, approach reality from the perspective of the thorn in their flesh, even boasting gladly of their weakness, for power is made perfect in weakness." Brothers and sisters, I'd like to offer you a new free booklet entitled "The Final Confrontation" by Ralph Martin. I am very interested in your response, and you can write to me at Renewal Ministries. To access the free booklet, simply call our toll-free number 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789.